Welcome to the Pulpit and Pew podcast. My name is Matt Higginbotham. I am the pastor of First Baptist Church Rockdale. I'm here today, as always, with my good friend Zach Rowan. So it's been
100% of the time we have a podcast, I'm here.
It's true. It's true. Anytime this podcast happens, Zach has been present for it. So we've been off for the last 3 or 4 weeks, it feels like.
I think we had three empty weeks.
Yeah. So we've been off for a little while, just getting our schedules together with the start of the school year has been kind of a thing. But we're glad to be back together. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the big stuff that's happened in the world, the Charlie Kirk assassination. Also talk for a while about the rapture that's supposed to take place tomorrow, which will be today when this video gets uploaded.
Today's 22nd, tomorrow.
Yeah. So when we get the video updated, hopefully, if it never goes out, I guess that's good. So that's that'll be kind of what we're talking about today. But Zach, since it's been a little bit since we've been together, what's been going on with you?
Oh, getting closer to having a third kid. So that's work in itself. For Taylor mostly.
What's
a bunch
the due
of
date?
Work travel, huh?
When's the due date?
November 19th.
November 19th.
Yep.
Coming.
Usually a little bit early. Not a lot.
I don't think Taylor will complain about it being early.
No. I don't think either of us will. I went to Florida twice in the last 2 weeks for work. Be going again in a week or two, and then going to Tennessee. So trying to do a bunch of work travel before the baby gets here because they know I'm not doing that once it gets here. So staying busy, very busy.
Yeah. What's in Florida? If you keep dragging out that way, what's pulling you there?
Boat builders. Guys that build boats.
Makes sense. It's a peninsula.
Yeah.
That's some geography for you today.
And if you go down there, you go to like Sarasota, boat lots are like car lots. There are more boat. There's just a little boat lot, like a used car dealership. It's boats.
Sarasota on the Gulf side or on the Atlantic side?
Atlantic side.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Like Vero Beach, that area up there. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good, Zach. I'm glad you've been staying busy at some time.
How about you?
Good question. I appreciate that. So, let's see. Since we've been together, I don't know, kids come into the house and then they go back away. And so we've had a lot of like just family visiting and going. My wife played a 42 tournament in San Antonio this past weekend. So
how'd she do? Who'd she play with? Who was her partner?
She played with her brother, I think was her partner. She did fair. Her mother won the tournament.
Wow.
And Hannah came in third.
Wow.
So it's kind of unfair though when you're under 70 and playing. So like, you got some special like skills still when you're still at that age. So it was a good time. She enjoyed that.
That's cool.
Single dad.
I didn't know you guys were such big bone.
42.
Rattlers.
42, yeah. Not straight dominoes. We don't have that skill. You watch people play straight dominoes.
They'll call them bones, right?
Yeah, I don't know. If I hear bones, I always think straight dominoes.
Oh, okay. We never played straight dominoes. It was like, once you learn how to play 42, why put the training wheels back on?
Like, line everything up.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. When I was working at Roadway, loading trucks on our little break times that were mandated by the union, mm-hmm. which I was not a part of, but enjoying the benefits of. They'd go in there and the guys would play like straight dominoes and be like slamming the dominoes down, like 20 and slam the table. And I was just like, I was 19. So I was just sitting as far away as I can looking at these guys like, I do not want to get mixed up in that.
We played chicken foot a little bit, but I don't remember how to play. We played just enough that I remember playing it, but
chicken foot's not, I don't feel like it's the same. In straight dominoes, you're like adding all of the ends together.
Chicken foot does the three thing, right?
Yeah.
You branch off. Yeah.
And you're just trying to get out of them, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. So, So it's just been just a normal time. We did ordain some deacons since the last time we've been together.
Yeah, we did.
So one of those was you.
Yeah, we did.
Brought Zach on as a deacon and DJ him.
I got to help.
I know.
For DJs.
Yeah, you got to stand up and like ordain men. You're like, yeah, that's me. Let me get up there. So. So we ordained some deacons. That's
first
good.
Time for everything.
Good to get some new men serving in that area. Preached a difficult passage 2 weeks ago about women and ministry and things like that. So
yeah,
did that.
Yep, proud of you for that one.
Yeah,
that
I appreciate that.
It's not easy.
Well, you know, it's good when you're preaching a sermon and you go back and kind of listen through it again, because I'm a glutton for punishment and self-evaluation. And I'm listening to it and I'm like, man, I took like 8 minutes at the front before I ever got to the passage. Be like, so we're going to be dealing with some, like, mm-hmm. and not really hemming and hawing, but kind of setting myself up yeah. and expectations up. Like, I'm going to make you mad. And I'm going to make you mad. Everyone's going to be a little angry when we're gone.
If you were a pitcher, you'd have been standing back there doing this for 5 minutes. Like, you ready?
I did go Sunday night. I went to Rising Star, had their 118th
church. Oh, wow.
So went out to that to support Roel Johnson, who's a friend of mine, and mm-hmm. church out cool. there. So that was good. It's always good to go out to Rising Star. They're, you know, much more enthusiastic in some areas.
They are.
And
I enjoyed their music is good.
Yeah, they do good stuff. So that's about what's going on mostly for me, but life's good. Just serving the Lord and trying to make it through. So that's been what's going on with me. Obviously, the world had some big stuff go on while we were on our hiatus there.
Yeah.
So I remember I was in this room, and Paul and I were doing one of the podcasts on a Tuesday or whatever it was, and mm-hmm. like we walk out, and he's like, checks his phone. He's like, oh, hey, it says Charlie Kirk got shot. And I was like, oh. And so, you know, I spent kind of that day just kind of like refreshing because, mm-hmm. you know,
nobody knew anything.
News is bad at the beginning yep. of any tragedy. So like, oh, he was rushed to the hospital in critical condition. Yep. I didn't watch any of the videos because I can't.
Oh, inside dude, I of saw my it. Soul, it's not good.
I don't handle real people dying.
Yeah.
It really bothers me mm-hmm. as I think it should. And so I didn't, like, I never stumbled upon it. And so I was, like, grateful because I'm not on Twitter where I think that was being shared.
Yeah, it was on Instagram.
You would just run across it. So I'm not on Instagram either. So it's just, yeah. it wasn't hitting the areas where I was at. And I'm grateful for that because I don't need to see that. But, you know, so we saw that. So I think we maybe just take a few minutes to talk about political violence and legacy and some of the good that can come from bad or stuff like that. So
yeah. Acknowledging that there are people who sit and talk about this 24/7 and still can't properly cover it. So, I was in Florida. I just got back to my hotel room, got a text message from one of my buddies in this group chat saying Charlie Kirk was just shot, put it on TV. Cause I happen to actually have TV there, like cable, CNN and Fox, and was just kind of watching because they didn't know anything for a while. And then, but man, it was, yeah, I saw the video very early. Like it was one of those things where I was scrolling and like, boom, it plays. And like, I didn't even know
what I
was getting into. I didn't know anybody had video. I should have assumed somebody would,
but yeah, that whole thing was going to be video.
I didn't even know. Yeah. And I was like, man, if he makes it, that's a real miracle, because
it was not
great yeah. To watch. But yeah, so I was just kind of processing that, and then I have a buddy who called me that night, and we talked for like three and a half hours just about it, and it led into the state of the world and everything, and just how crazy it can seem sometimes. Like, you really, like, even as a Christian, you're like, man, I am sure glad that God is deciding what happens and not me. Cause
vengeance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just some sense of our justice, which is sideways.
Yep.
You know, I don't post on Facebook much. I post something on Facebook kind of loosely related between that and 9/11, loosely related on just the state of the world and how it reminds me of, you know, I heard the bells on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that song is so powerful to me. You know, it's written in the Civil War. So, like, while the Civil War is going on, Longfellow's son is off at the war. And he's like, you know, the power of hate is strong, right? And it mocks the song of the church. And the church's song is, you know, like, peace on earth. And the world kind of mocks that. It's like, there's no peace. Like, it's violence. It's mm-hmm. might makes right.
Mm-hmm.
And from the outside, man, it seems like the world has a great argument, like that there's not peace, that there's, you know, violent forces and violent actors, and we have a desire to respond.
Yeah, it's hard enough to find peace in here when it's just me trying. you know, trying to find inner peace, much less make peace with people who might hate you or at least hate things you stand for that are very important to you. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I just, you know, but the way it ends, the poem and the song ends, it's like, you know, the right will prevail. You know, the wrong will fail. The right prevail. Peace on earth, goodwill to men.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, it always leads me to like eschatology, like future, like in some point in the future, God is going to fix all of this stuff. Like that and on Sunday, I guess I said that like the idea that God is, you know, maybe he's pulled back a little bit like a master goes on vacation, but he sees everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like that Andrew
Peterson song. He sees all of it and will he not respond?
Mm-hmm.
And he will. Like, and so as Christians, part of what I think we need to take from this moment of like severe anxiety for our country and wickedness is that we need to rely on the Lord to mete out cosmic justice.
Mm.
Like I want the Justice Department to mete out earthly justice for the you know, the 22-year-old who decided, from all evidence at least, to go and
yeah.
Resolves in himself, hey, I'm going to go kill this guy because I hate things he stands for, right? Like,
yeah,
I'm going to trust the justice on earth to kind of mete out earthly justice, but for the whole of us to trust in the Lord, that God is still good in the midst of
mm-hmm.
the darkness.
Yeah. I always go back to Isaiah, just like the Christological prophecies there, you know, unto us a son is born, our king is born, a son is given. Can't remember exactly.
Son is born.
Yeah.
Or unto us a child is born.
Yeah, unto us a son is given.
Son is given.
And his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, a Mighty King, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Like, I think about, and the government shall be upon his shoulders strikes me in this moment. You know, it's like, okay, he's in charge of it. He's got it. Might not seem that way, and there are definitely forces that don't want it to be that way or seem that way, but they're under his thumb, you know.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's good for, as Christians, just to rely back on like truth.
Yeah,
because the world is lying. Like the world is lying and saying like there's the only path forward is violence.
Mm-hmm.
Like we need to pick up and we need to go and we need to fight and we need to reclaim and. There's this desire inside of people to go and to make things right.
Mm-hmm.
There's desire on those who are opposed to, like, the views of Charlie Kirk to go and inflict more damage, right? To continue down a path of violence. But as Christians, we need to stand on the side of the Lord is over all things.
Yeah.
God is still in charge, even in the midst of tragedy. You see a young wife and two small kids, and you think, like an instant, this guy went off to his normal work, which is weird work for us, obviously. That's not a normal job.
Mm-hmm.
But he goes to do the thing that he had done 1,000 times. He doesn't come home.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't come home. There's two kids without a dad. There's a wife who's trying to process that, and she's being thrust forward right into positions where she's got to publicly make statements in the midst of grief and sorrow. And she's being judged for that, on how she grieves and
and like anybody that's been through something like that can tell you that, you know, it should have been several months to a year before somebody stuck her up in front of the world
to share about her
stadium
life. Yeah,
you know, full of the most important people in the country or whatever, you know.
And it's like people need that from her, like the crowd needs her to give them some sense of purpose. And mm-hmm. I thought she did. That today was the kind of memorial service today, and you know, like I only saw clips.
Was that just today?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I'm almost positive it was today.
I did. Yeah, like I didn't watch it.
To me today.
But okay.
And so she was, but she's reaching out with like forgiveness, like I forgive, you know, that guy who shot my husband. And I think that's I don't know if I could be there. Like I could say the words if someone killed my spouse. I could say those words maybe. But I don't think I could get there internally in this amount of time. I'd still be processing it. But it's it is the call of the Christian to forgive those who've trespassed against us.
Yeah.
And so like, that's a good model of a faithful person. And I pray for her because she's got a hard life in front of her, and she's going to be under a microscope, mm-hmm. not necessarily of her choosing.
Yeah.
For people on all sides trying to get her to be something.
Hey, everybody wants her to fill his shoes. And I don't know that that's possible or fair, not because she's a woman or anything, but it's just like, I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
But I feel sorry for her.
It's a tragic situation. Trust in Jesus, hold to Jesus. Know that he's going to come back. You know, when I look at it, I'm always looking like long-term eschatology. Like, this is one day all these things are going to be made right, which leads us to the rest of our conversation, mm-hmm. which is tomorrow, according to reports, Zach, mm-hmm. This is the 22nd. So tomorrow or the next day, depending on, I don't know what exactly.
Pastor Mlakele.
Yeah. Brother Jonathan?
I don't know. I just read it right before we started.
Up there. Yeah. Some South African preacher has been given a word from the Lord. The rapture is happening.
Yep.
So
take notice.
Talk to me about the rapture. What is the rapture, Zach?
Oh man. From my limited understanding, the rapture is, and you can correct me here.
I won't.
I'm sure I need some correction.
All right, I might.
So Paul talks about, Paul is the most specific, or our verses penned by Paul are the most specific support for the idea of a rapture, right? When he talks about believers being caught up. The Greek word being
Thessalonians. Thessalonians would be the spot where you get that view. You also have like Jesus, you know, two will be grinding, one will be taken.
That's true.
So you have that idea as well, though that taken seems bad. Like it's a reference to like the flood.
Mm.
So like they'll be washed away, and it's not like, that doesn't seem like a salvation thing, but maybe it is somewhere in there. But yeah, so that's it. So what is it theoretically? That. What is the rapture?
Basically, the pre-death ascension of Christians, of believers, to heaven. Right. So like they don't die.
So the idea is when Christ is going to come back to establish the millennium,
curtains pulled back type deal.
As he's coming, he brings the church up. Anyone in Christ is caught up in the air. They're all up. And the dead in Christ will rise as well in that time. And so there will kind of be this.
Like they did at the resurrection.
Correct. Yeah, except it'll be worldwide, not just localized. And it'll be living and dead both being caught up. So there will be this mass taking away, catching up of those people who are in the Lord. And that'll usher in the tribulation. So there will be a... for sure, this is how this would be viewed. There'll be a tribulation, a time of trouble on the earth for 7 years, and then Christ will establish the millennial reign after the time of tribulation.
Yep.
Satan will be bound and blah, blah, blah. So that's the view. That view is held by a not insignificant portion of the modern church. It would be the pre-millennial view, dispensational view. Typically with a pre-trib flavor, because they have a mid-trib flavor and a post-trib flavor, which all deals with like, is a rapture before the tribulation, middle of the tribulation, or after the tribulation.
Yeah, and if you're a preterist, you wouldn't believe it's going to... You believe it already happened.
If you're a full preterist, I'm not sure that you're doctrinally Christian.
Yeah, well, okay, but like partial preterism, everybody is a little bit preterist.
If they want, I guess.
I think most... Christians in America today say some things have been fulfilled. So it's almost a useless term, but nevertheless, like, yeah, you could be a preterist to the extent that you think that the rapture's already happened.
Yeah, I think the problem, and we're going sideways here, but the problem with like full preterism is it denies the return of
Christ. We're going back to the episode we did.
Yeah, it denies the return of Christ, and that's, I think, heretical.
Yes.
So like that.
No, that's definitely heretical.
So, but yeah, so what are your takes on people predicting the rapture? This isn't the first time the rapture's ever been predicted, in case you're unaware.
It's a bad look for a pastor, specifically.
Yeah?
Like, you should know scripture enough to not be doing that.
What's the warning that he seems to be ignoring?
That no man knows the day nor the hour. Yeah.
Yeah. So like it's a pretty clear warning.
It even goes on to say not the Son, only the Father knows.
It gets into some theological questions about the knowledge of Christ.
It does. I just mentioned that to say that, all right, you, Pastor Mlakele, really don't know.
Yeah. And so it seems like most of these things happen through when people solve like mathematical formulas, like they've punched it onto the calculator, put it on the spreadsheet.
Yeah, this, or it's like a this, Baba this. Yaga type, like mystic, Eastern mystic.
Baba Yaga.
Baba Yaga?
Nope.
You never heard of Baba Yaga?
Nope.
No.
Oh, lead us down the road. You throw it
no,
out.
No, it's she's this old like Croatian or Eastern Western Russian. She's some one
Eastern
of those
Eastern European Western Russian.
It was part of the USSR at some point, you know, the Soviet Union. But yeah, she's this like mystic that she's like a
something Stan.
No, I'm trying to think of what's the guy, the Nostradamus. She's like a female Nostradamus type mystic. She was blind from birth. She has all
gave
that
her special vision.
All though. That going for, you know, crazy life story
as
a kid.
That going for?
yeah, she's got all that wrapped up in her mystique. But anyway, yeah, there's a lot of people that do claim to know. And like the numerology stuff is what wraps a lot of people in these days, like some secret code.
Yeah, you'll see people, even people that you might know about, and all of a sudden they'll make like a, you know, 1984, 82, 84 was like when Christ was going to return. People were like 84 reasons mm-hmm. Jesus is going to return for 19, maybe it was 88, 88 before 88. Well, it was one of those, in the 80s, mm-hmm. Big book happened. Maybe Hal Lindsey kind of popularized it, who I think is a pretty orthodox teacher, honestly, Hal Lindsey.
In the 2030s, I think we're really going to get into.
Yeah. Why would
if
that?
If we get that far.
Yeah. If we make it to the 2030s, why would that be a problem?
Because, like, you know, if, you know, assuming Christ was born at the turn of the millennium, right? Like, call that zero. Some people go as far as, like, say, oh, that was 4 AD when he was born. You know, there's a little bit of slush room there.
Sure.
But if he lived to be in his early 30s, that puts you, what was it, 33?
33 is the what we estimate, yeah.
Yeah, what we estimate. Then his death and first resurrection, it'll put you at 2,000 years from that. If you're like a 6,000-year Christian, or if you're going by the Hebrew calendar, right, where we're at like year, we're getting up on year 6,000, then you can say, oh, you know, 2,000 years before the flood, 2,000 years after the flood, 2,000 years after Christ.
Must be true. You just convinced me.
It's easy to do.
Yeah.
But there's a lot. There's
I'm
a lot
easily
of
convinced.
No, there's a lot of that stuff. And then you get into like the even the biblical language, like when Christ says it'll be a time and half a time, you know, people try to figure out, well, what's a time?
Yeah. And people, the deal with numbers, when people start playing numbers games, is the guy going through the number game with you is choosing the numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like a magician who has a card trick.
Yeah.
And they know how the card trick works. They're like, pick a number. All right, now we're going to divide that by three. Now we're going to, and like they know the only possible way this ends.
Yeah.
If I work the math this way, it's like this. For no matter what number you chose to start, you're going to end up on seven. You're like, hey, I'm at seven. Well, How do you know?
They can take numbers that already exist. Like I was reading Daniel the other day, and there's a lot of, you know, the last part of Daniel.
Sure.
But he gives, you know, the visions he's given and the one floating above the river telling him this stuff is giving him exact number, like numbers.
Yeah.
And so people use that too, but it's the same thing. It's like, okay, well, when does it start? Like, when does the 70-year timer start, or when does it end? And once you, if you can arbitrarily pick one of those, you can make it work for anything.
Yeah. So what's the danger, aside from being wrong, and I'll put my cards out. I don't believe that the rapture has been foretold to this guy to occur, because the Bible doesn't give us any indication that there's going to be someone to give us special revelation about when the rapture is going to occur.
Yeah.
So I'm doubting this person's prophetic call. And if I'm wrong, I hope the Holy Spirit will convict me of that. But I don't see any reason to believe that to be true. So if it's true that he's not speaking for the Lord in this moment, what are the dangers for like the watching public? What, why is this a problem? Because I think it's a problem.
Oh, if people fall into it and believe it and then it doesn't happen, which I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's not, like I'm going to take a pretty hard stance that like I think it's bad. I think it's really bad to be guessing at these things or trying to make a name doing it, trying to get your 15 minutes. But if someone who is maybe like a brand new Christian in a third world country where they don't have a lot of people to speak sense on the matter,
yeah,
they fall into it, they, I don't know, you could have a cult, like Jim Jones or something. Somebody gives all their money to this guy who says it's about to happen because he's going to build the bunker and it doesn't happen. And then you, good luck getting that person to come back to Christianity.
Yeah.
You know, in a meaningful way.
And that's my big caution on this is you have people who will feel a sense of urgency to get right with the Lord because someone has told them mm-hmm. he's coming tomorrow. Mm-hmm. If you don't get right with the Lord before tomorrow, like you don't have another chance.
Right.
I think that sense of urgency is good. People should know, like, we don't know when the Lord's going to return. And so you do need to get.
But that's when
you give them a day.
Yeah.
And then Christ tarries. All of a sudden, their whole faith was built on emergency,
mm-hmm.
emergency pass. That guy's a liar. The church is a liar. The Bible is a lie. And then they're in the parable of the soils, they're the rocky soil where something springs up quickly.
Yeah.
Can't take root and dies.
Mm-hmm.
And we promote that through bad, like, fear-mongering eschatology of, no, he's coming tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Like, you better get right tomorrow.
Also makes you look foolish to the outside world, to non-believers, you know?
Yeah, we don't need any help doing that either.
It's another time it hasn't happened. Therefore, we've got 200 times that people have said that it's going to happen and hasn't happened, so it's never going to happen.
Yeah, and the reality is, like, the rapture, I'm not positive is actually going to happen as we think of it, but mm-hmm. the return of Christ is certain. Like, he is coming again. He's told us it's going to happen. He's mm-hmm. going to make all things right, and I have no doubt about that. I'm as convinced about that today as I was the day that I got saved. But for me to tell people, this is the day that Christ is coming. This is the day.
Yeah.
Then we become like the Jehovah's Witnesses, mm-hmm. where they— And that they were kind of a doomsday cult, right? To get started, like, oh, Christ is coming on this day. Oh, he didn't come. Oh, he's coming actually 2 weeks from now. Oh, no. It's actually going to be 6 months from now. As they have like 7 or 12 like failed prophecies.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they just kind of try to like wash them away like they never happened. But that's not, doesn't make God look good. It makes God look like a liar.
Yeah.
How can you trust this God when he doesn't even know when he's coming back? He keeps telling people.
Yeah.
These are your people. And I don't think we should be making God look like a liar.
Yeah. I agree with people who say that eschatology matters because it can affect the way that you see things or the way that you act. But I think that people on all sides should also be cognizant of the fact that maybe they don't know. And maybe you should take the lessons from the different eschatological beliefs and apply them without necessarily needing to be full post-mill. Everybody else is completely a heretic or, you know.
Yeah, I heard it said.
I see a lot of lately.
Yeah, I heard it said one time that, you know, I hope that it's pre-mill. Like, I hope that Christ comes back and saves us of the tribulation and ushers in because his return is sooner, right? But we should function our lives like post-mill. Like, we should live
mm-hmm.
as if what we're doing has a meaningful purpose mm-hmm. in God's kingdom. And however it works out, because, like, ultimately I'm a Baptist Faith and Message guy where it says, like, in the fullness of time, Christ will return. And that's kind of the statement. And I'm like, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel bad about saying it. I don't need to apologize for it. In the fullness
of time.
I really
do think that's the best way to, yeah.
Christ will return. I would love for him to come before this gets aired and we look like fools and whatever. I would have no problems with that at all. And I would go find this prophet guy and be like, dude, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know. I didn't know.
Yeah.
I would love for that. I don't believe that to be the case. But I would love for that to be the case. But I should live as if what I'm doing matters. And so I should go with some urgency to my lost friends and be sharing the gospel and not looking to escape from the earth that we're on, but rather to live on the earth that we're on, trying to usher in God's kingdom. Mm-hmm. And however God chooses to fix it, like, I'm cool with God doing those things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The way I've like, it's been broken down to me, or that I understand it, is it basically like pre-mill is the more doom and gloom, things get bad, Christ comes back.
And it seems like that, right?
And post-mill is like, no, the good guys get on a hot streak and just keep winning until the earth is conquered through us, and then Christ comes back to take over what's... And it's honestly good with either of them. But if you lean too hard into one or another, if the eschatology becomes more important than Christ himself, that's where you get into problems.
Yeah. Yeah, when I think our hope is not in our system being upheld.
Yeah.
Our hope is in the sure return of Christ.
Yeah.
And to think that, like, we have a corner on that is dangerous. And also to think that we on earth have some knowledge that Christ did not have on earth.
Or to think that you have a corner on it and that somehow puffs you up because you're better than everybody else because you got this licked. You got it figured out.
Well, and I feel like people do that with theology broadly.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I know this, like, my specific theological view on, like, the eternal subordination of the Son, like
yeah,
like, okay, well, great,
it's
doctrine that no one was worried about. Mm-hmm. Now you've decided that's the thing. Good job.
I did see a guy that's a big Reformed guy said, like, you know, this the Charlie Kirk thing and seeing, like, kind of the unity that's been brought about after his death, like, made me realize that he's like, I'm way less hardline about the Reformed thing. He's like, we have brothers and sisters who believe slightly different things. And then he lists, here are like the two or three things you have to believe. Outside of that, find some way to be united, even though you disagree on the minutiae.
Yeah, and I think churches would do well to have a bigger tent inside of Orthodox.
Yeah.
So, like, to avoid heresy, but to have a bigger tent where we're open to a variety of opinions. And so, like, I have every opinion I have about the Bible, I think, is biblically informed and correct. Because if I believe differently, it wouldn't be my opinion. Mm-hmm. But there are some things where I can disagree with a brother and still largely do ministry. So, like, I'll use Royal Johnson as an example. I love Royal. He's pastor at Rising Star. He's a friend of mine. He's preached in my pulpit. I've preached in his pulpit. We disagree on the role of women inside of the church. He's a full inclusionist. He thinks that you know, there's not an office in the church that's held out from women. I believe, based on my understanding of Scripture, that there's one specific office, and it's a real difference. Like, if we were to,
because you're even. What's the word? Empathetic towards, like, deaconesses and...
Yeah, I think that's a biblical... I'm biblically convinced
that
that's
based on biblical evidence that I lean that way, too.
Yeah, I understand the arguments against it, and I'm not...
I do, too.
I wouldn't necessarily, you know, be like, oh, this is the way it's got to be. But, like, my point is, I can disagree with him, but I have no issue considering him a brother in Christ. No issue. I had no issue with him sharing my pulpit. He had no concerns with me sharing his pulpit. Because in the core, the things that we need to agree on, we hold hand in hand. We hold. We're brothers in Christ. We're equal on the foot of the cross. There are specific areas inside of doctrine of Christianity that we're like, well, I read it like this. I'm like, well, I read it like this. I could be wrong. And I think to have the humility as believers to think, maybe I don't have it all right. Because, you know, 100 years ago or 150 years ago for sure, like, I would have I would have probably been pretty upset that we're not allowed to own people anymore. And I'm pretty sure that's the wrong opinion. Like, I feel convictionally convinced that owning people is wrong. Like, I think it's not a good way to go through life, especially the way in which we process it in America. Mm-hmm. But culturally, as a white Southerner, I feel pretty confident that I would have been really sympathetic to the arguments of the, like, Civil War South.
Yeah.
Because it's where I would have been raised. And I have massive, I would have had massive blind spots.
I'd have been poor, so it wouldn't have mattered, but.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, I would have had massive blind spots to this. That, like, now, like, it's pretty easy to see, like, man, why were, like, why was Jonathan Edwards in favor of slavery? Like, that's ridiculous. Like, he's such a gospel light. How could he have possibly been, like, in the Valley of Vision? How would he not have seen that that was not the right way to treat people? But the truth is, we have blind spots. And to think that you are all-knowing on every area of Christianity is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, like, take the things that we're certain of.
Yeah.
The things that are
the main things or the plain things. Yeah.
Yeah. And there should be no debate. Now, I know there's churches that debate all sorts of ridiculous things that we should be in agreement on. And that's to our shame. But for the mass majority, like, agree on those things and don't make secondary or tertiary issues first issues.
Yeah.
And be on guard against people who try to spit you down into.
Yeah, I'm on guard against people who try to make much ado about nothing, or, you know, not nothing, but they try to really push the tertiary issues. And, like, I probably used to be one of those people. I only take the stance I take nowadays on a lot of stuff because I took too hard of a stance previous years. Like, something would be really important.
You can see it.
Eschatology, at one point, I knew a lot more about it than I know now, but I've forgotten a lot of it because I just got to the point where I was like, man, this dude speaks so well and can convince me that pre-mill all the way.
It's gotta be.
And then this dude can post-mill. Like, and if I can be swayed like that by some guy, you know, and I'll go to the Bible and read the parts they're referencing, and it's like, man, you really could. And so I just, obviously, that's not the most important thing if it's not the clear. But where you can really get at it is go to somebody and ask them their gospel presentation, because it might not be polished, but they should all sound pretty much alike.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. There should be some acknowledgement of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that separates us from the God who loves us, mm-hmm. and then the work of Christ to bring us back.
Yeah.
So, like, I just, there's just a lot out there in the world. And today, there's a lot of people trying to build brands.
Yeah.
To be the next influencer inside of the Christian circuit. And so they'll have special revelation, or they'll have shiny videos. And I know, like, this is a video, this is far from shiny. But they'll be putting things out, and their whole purpose is to push their brand, mm-hmm. to build their little personal kingdom for clicks and conversion rates to their website. So you'll buy their product, and mm-hmm. they can get enough advertising to monetize their YouTube page. And
yeah,
just be aware. There's people who will look to do anything. And on that, I mentioned in my sermon a couple weeks ago that, you know, there was a video I saw of, like, Billy Graham. Do you remember this?
The AI one?
Yeah. Yeah. It was, Billy Graham in favor of women in all positions of the church. And it got shared to me, and I thought, well, that's surprising to me, knowing when Billy was working, the ministry specific that he was doing, which was almost fully evangelism. So he's not doing, like, deep teaching into the order of the church typically. I mean, that's interesting. So I did some research before I watched the video. I was like, I don't see anything there. So I watched the video, and it's, like, just, like, a picture of Billy Graham and then the voice going. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, it sounds like Billy Graham.
Yeah.
Because AI is able to, there's enough of Billy Graham's speeches out there that you can piece together his whole kind of vocal,
yeah.
you know, alphabet.
You take somebody who's got enough sound bites, and you can.
I imagine there's enough of me out there now.
They've made all the syllables and said all the words and all the intonations that you need to, yeah.
Yeah, so if someone cared enough to, you know, make fake Matt Higginbotham with all the sermons online and mm-hmm. stuff, there's plenty of material.
The best ones are like Joe Rogan, because he's been doing a 3-hour podcast for
how many episodes?
He's got like 12,000 hours of.
Yeah. And so you can do whatever you want with that person. You can say anything.
Yeah.
And so they took Billy Graham and they had him, and I was listening, and then the clear giveaway, other than the content, was like, he said the word paster instead of pastor. Mm. And I was like, I'm pretty confident Billy Graham would not call a pastor a paster.
Yeah.
Like, I feel very confident that Billy Graham would not make that mistake.
Mm-hmm.
You might have made it when you were typing in the prompt mm-hmm. that he was going to say, but he didn't make that mistake. But, you know, the whole purpose of that, I don't know if that person even cares about the debate between egalitarianism and complementarianism inside of the church. I think that person just wanted clicks so they could sell ads, so they could turn it over.
A lie. I mean,
and it
lie served several purposes.
Yeah, it cost them nothing to do, or virtually nothing to do. They put a video up, purports to be someone it's not, saying something you never said. So long as you get enough views to monetize it.
Yeah.
You came out ahead.
AI is scary, man. AI is, because you think about, we it just happened, right? Just 2 years ago, you started being able to do this.
ChatGPT kind of came out.
20 years from now, how will you know anything?
Handwritten notes passed, man.
How will you know anything?
Handwritten notes that we're passing across the table at each other.
Yeah.
So it is weird. We're not equipped. It's similar to how we weren't equipped for the Industrial Revolution when it came. Like, whole society had to be reworked and rechanged, and because now all of a sudden we don't need 1,000 people to work the farm. We've got, you know, a cotton gin that can take the cotton apart. And
you know what you do when that happens? Go to war. Give them something to do.
I don't like the outlook we have right now in front of us, Zach. So, yeah.
Not a very post-mill outlook you're portraying here.
You're really, really a pre-millennial.
Yeah.
But I mean, I do think as a church, we should be ready for the return of Christ. To get back to that, we should be ready. Today, your house should be in order.
Yeah.
And you should be motivated to share the gospel with people,
knowing
that Christ could come tomorrow.
Yep.
Not because some guy from South Africa said he's coming tomorrow, but because we don't know the day.
Because
or the
you
hour.
Know he's coming sometime.
He's coming.
And it could be tomorrow.
And there's no reason to believe that it won't be
tomorrow. Or the person that you need to share with, he may come for them tomorrow.
Yeah. He does call people home, you know, and so we've seen that over and over and over again. So just be on mission towards that end. Don't be lazy. Don't give in to fear. Don't worry about that. I saw a video of a lady who was stocking up on water and stuff for her house, because when she was going to be raptured tomorrow, she wanted those people to come in. She left out Bible verses to explain what happened and had Bibles out for the people who was inevitably going to take over her house because her whole family was going to be gone.
That's very sweet, but it's going to hurt her when it doesn't happen.
Yeah, or she was just trying to build a brand to get clicks and conversions. See, but that's the skeptical bad part of me, which I talked about beforehand. Like, there's just
I just thought I was a skeptic. You're the real skeptic.
There's a kernel in me that just doesn't trust anyone on the internet now.
Yeah.
Because I think it's all for being monetized and trying to.
Yeah. Self-aggrandization.
Yeah. I wish we weren't into building brands. You know, the purpose of this, I had some guy call me, and I need to call him back, I guess, but he's from some group that will take this and take to the next level, Zach.
No, thanks.
That's what he does.
No, thanks.
I don't know how he found us, but like,
I'd have to wear shoes.
I see you put your sermons up. I see you got some podcasts. Like, he's talked to me about stuff. And I was like, yeah. He's like, I think we could do some stuff with that. And I was like, well, the reason I do this is so that my church has some discipleship material in the week. And he's like, yeah, that's fine. And I was like, yeah, I don't know if we're in the same. Like, and I'm sure, like, yeah, would it be great if more people were exposed to what I think is good teaching? Sure. Mm-hmm. But I don't need to be that teacher. Like, God has called me to pastor this church. Mm-hmm. And if you're not a part of First Baptist Church Rockdale, you're welcome to watch. But, like, the whole purpose of this is to disciple my people in my town, or the people directly connected to them. And so I'm not looking to build a brand. And I have to be mindful of that, because there's always a temptation of like, maybe we could go another step, Zach. We could we could take this national. Yeah. International. Like the House of Pancakes. That could be us, man.
That's so far outside the realm of possibility. Like, I
it's
like
not, because we're so polished, Zach.
Yeah, we are.
We can give him some of our pre-stuff that we did beforehand before we started recording. It can go international.
That would go international, but...
Yeah. So I just...
That's neither here nor there.
You need to be on guard against anybody who's, honestly, as your pastor,
yeah,
just watch out for people who are looking for your attention and using the name of Jesus Christ to get it.
Yep.
Some are bad. Some might be good.
Watch out for people who are trying to use the name of Jesus Christ in most any way, except good prayer
to share
or bringing others to him.
Share people that he is the only answer to these problems. Yeah.
Because I mean that the first topic too, the Charlie Clerk thing, like you see a lot of people are just coming out of the woodwork and it's like, man, where you been? And I hope maybe they're just fired up now.
Yeah, and it's possible that it's going to lead to spark some people to return to the faith or consider the faith. And if that's the case, then you know, well done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for Charlie Kirk, if part of his legacy is these people came to faith because of like the lasting memory that he has. Well, praise God for that. What a terrible, terrible situation, but God, as we see through the Bible, makes beautiful things from ashes. He can, you know. But yeah, I just hope in Jesus.
Yep.
And don't listen to all the liars on the internet.
Yes.
They're all over. Good to see you guys on the internet today, though. That was excellent. So y'all enjoy. Don't listen to the liars, though, on the internet. That's not us. Me and Zach, we're the really good guys here. Zach, you got anything else you want to throw out here, man?
Oh, man. You always do this. No,
3 weeks to think of something, Zach.
But I wasn't thinking over the. I think as little as possible.
It's good.
Now, yeah, just I think we're at a important time. What comes out of this time remains to be seen. But just kind of pay attention to what's happening in the world and let it motivate you to strengthen your relationship with Christ, because that's the one thing you really need right now. No matter who you are, I can say that with confidence. That's what you need.
Yeah, and don't let the disappointments that may come tomorrow for some people to deter you from continuing following Christ. Because Jesus is still good, even if people are mistaken about things.
Yep,
sure.
Certainly. Yeah.
That's a good word, Zach. I appreciate that. Hey, if y'all see me as we're going up tomorrow, give me a high five. All right, guys. Let me pray. Lord, I love you. As we leave this place here, I pray that you be glorified in our lives. I do pray for those people who are grieving, those people who are walking in sorrow. I ask that you would equip them with your Holy Spirit to carry them through the dark nights ahead. Lord, for those people who are caught up in rapture fervor right now, that may or may not be true, but it seems to be unreliable to me. I pray that you would protect them from their faith being shipwrecked. We do pray that you would come quickly, Lord, and if you want to come tomorrow, we'll give you all praise and glory. We love you. Amen.
Amen. Yes. See you all in 3 weeks.